Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Hey. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Markings system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the bottom of Daf Kuf Dalid Omid Beis. Two lines from the bottom, you'll notice a framed section. In our Gemara markings, framed sections are Tanaic sources. In addition to that, we want to draw your attention to the outside margin where we have something written called Nosei, a topic heading. We have written there that the upcoming Gemara deals with Nikoyon HaPeh, the cleansing of one's mouth, Kehachono L'Achilas Bosor Achrei Achilas Gvina, in anticipation or in preparation of eating meat after one has eaten cheese. Two procedures will be mentioned in the course of our Sugya. One is called Mekaneach and the other is called Madiach. As far as translation of these terms, we will deal with that as we go along in the Gemara, as we continue in the Gemara. When we get to the top of Kuf Hei Omen Aleph, the Gemara, after having asked at the very end of our Omid, what is Mekaneach and what is Mediach, the question is really what is required. We will see Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel featured in our Tanaic source. At the top of Kuf Hei Omen Aleph, you will notice some words double underlined. This is one of our series markings. This represents, as we have indicated on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we've written Shlavei Birur. These are stages in clarifying Hamashma'us shel Mediach u'mekaneach sha'omru Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel. What is intended by their respective shitos when they say what they do? So there will be stages till we get to a clear understanding. In the meantime, we begin second line from the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Tanya, Beis Shammai u'mru mekaneach. Beis Shammai says that one does the kinuach process for preparing his mouth after having eaten meat. After having eaten cheese, he does kinuach in anticipation of the meat. Beis Hillel omrim madiach, and Beis Hillel says that he does hadocha. Mai mekaneach umai madiach. What do Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel intend when they say those things? In other words, what do they actually require? In the meantime, we haven't translated these expressions yet, but we will do so as we go along in the Gemara. So here you could see at the top of Kuf Hei, our double underline E Lema, and a few lines later Ella, and then again a few lines after that Ella. All of these are just stages in trying to figure out what position Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel take. So, I lemo Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach velo boi mediach. Beis Shammai maybe they are said to hold that you do kinuach and you don't have to do hadocha. Hadocha, Rashi points out, is a rinsing out of one's mouth with water. Beis Shammai is telling us that one does kinuach, and it's enough. And according to Tosfos, the pshat, the hesber is, what Beis Shammai is saying, is that you do kinuach, and you don't have to do the more thorough type of preparation or cleansing called hadocha. U'Beis Hillel omrim, midiach, velo boi mekaneach. Beis Hillel insists on doing hadocha, and hadocha alone will be sufficient. However, kinuach would be insufficient. Well, if that's the case, so we come out saying as follows, that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that kinuach is sufficient. We have a question. Elaha diomar Rabbi Zeira ein kinuach pe. Elo bepas. Now we have a chance to translate kinuach. Rabbi Zeira says that kinuach is accomplished only through bread. In other words, after eating cheese, one would eat a piece, he would chew and eat a piece of bread. So Rabbi Zeira is explaining the kinuach method. Who says that the kinuach method is at all sufficient in the first place, according to our current approach? Well, it would be Beis Shammai. It would then come out that Rabbi Zeira is offering explanation for a position taken by Beis Shammai, and in general we know that Beis Shammai is not an opinion that we follow. It would be odd then for Rabbi Zeira, who is an Amora, who is living at a time when we know we don't follow Beis Shammai, that he would be taking trouble to explain something that we don't even do. So the Mora asks, Keman ke Beis Shammai? If Rabbi Zeira is telling us, Ein kinuach pe elo bepas, and according to our Elema first stage of analysis, it's only Beis Shammai that acknowledges kinuach as being sufficient, so is Rabbi Zeira explaining something within Beis Shammai which would be a shita that we don't even follow? So that's highly improbable. Elo, Beis Shammai oimrim mekaneach, v'lo boi madiach. Beis Shammai says kinuach is sufficient, u'Beis Hillel omrim af mediach. Beis Hillel is saying that in addition to kinuach, you have to do hadocha as well. And therefore, Rabbi Zeira is important for us for understanding Shitas Beis Hillel. And that is, of course, reasonable. The Gemara asks if this be the case, that Beis Shammai is lenient, that they're requiring only kinuach, and Beis Hillel is saying you have to do two procedures, kinuach, chewing of the bread according to Rabbi Zeira, and also a rinsing out of the mouth, while havi le mikule Beis Shammai umei chumrei Beis Hillel, this would then be an example of a leniency of Beis Shammai, which is uncommon, and a stringency of Beis Hillel. V'lisne gabi kulei Beis Shammai v'chumri Beis Hillel. Then this should have appeared in Maseches Edios. This is a tractate that is made up of Mishnayos, in which we feature in it, in which the Mishnayos feature those points, those examples, those halachas where Beis Shammai, in fact, is the lenient opinion. And this doesn't appear over there. So then we go on to another stage. Elo Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach v'adin mediach. Beis Shammai is saying that you need both. Huadin indicates, as Rashi says, that you need to have both procedures. U'Beis Hillel omrim mediach v'adin lemekaneach. And Beis Hillel, when they said mediach, they are saying that in addition to kinuach, mora marchado, umora marchado velo pligi. Beis Shammai said only one of the two required procedures. So when Beis Shammai said mekaneach, this was understood to be in addition to mediach. And Beis Hillel, when they said mediach, this was in addition to mekaneach. Each one in the brisa that we saw at the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis said only one of the two things that are required. But as the Gemara says, v'lo pliki, this in fact is not a point of controversy at all between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both of them requiring that after eating cheese and you want to eat meat, you have to chew the bread and also rinse out one's mouth. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've written Hagdoros shel kinuach hapeh. These are standards or qualifications, details regarding kinuach. Gufa, Omar Rebbe Zera. Ein kinuach hapeh elo bepas. Kinuach is accomplished only through bread, through eating of bread. Bahani mili bedechiti, provided it's wheat bread. Avol bedesairi lo, but barley bread would not be efficient, wouldn't be sufficient, nor efficient. And that's because barley, as opposed to wheat, barley bread crumbles, and it doesn't join together in one's mouth attach itself to the residual cheese that may remain and draw it away from one's mouth. Udechiti nami lo amoron, elo bekarira. Chiti is said to be effective only if it's cool. Avo bechamimo mishtar shatri. However, if it's hot bread, mishtar shatri means it'll stick to one's palate, or stick to one's mouth. And if it sticks, so then it's not effective in removing the cheese from one's mouth of the individual who now wants to eat meat. Vahani mili berechicha. That which we say that bread is effective as a cleanser, that's if it's soft. Avo be'akushi lo. However, if it's hard bread, that won't be effective because it turns into crumbs, it crumbles, and then has the same characteristic like the barley bread we described above. The Gemara now says, v'hilchasa, the final ruling of the Gemara is, v'chol mili havi kinuach. A much broader ruling, indicating that anything can serve as kinuach, l'bar mi kimcha tamri v'yarka, with three exemptions, they being kimcha, flour, tamri, dates, yarka, vegetables. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, and this actually is a very common issue, well-known phenomenon when dealing with the realm of basar b'cholov. It's shehiya bein basar l'cholov, the amount of time required to wait after eating a meat meal, after eating meat, and one then wants to eat cheese. Bo minei Rav Asi mirav Yochanan, kamo yashe bein basar l'gvina. How much time must one wait between meat and cheese? Now, this sounds, the order of the words here indicates that he ate meat and he wants to eat cheese, and we want to know how long does he have to wait. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Velo klum, you don't have to wait at all. You can eat immediately the cheese after the meat." The Gemara asks, "Amy, is that so?" V'omar Rav Chisda, "Ochal basar osur leachol gvina, gvina muter leachol basar." You see, with our markings, we have aleph and beis, 2 points Rav Chisda made. We dashed underlined the aleph point because that's the main point, and in order to indicate that the beis is subsidiary to this particular point in the Gemara, we've put it in brackets. So Rav Chisda tells us that if you ate basar, then you cannot eat cheese. Certainly you cannot eat cheese immediately afterwards. Rashi says, Osur lechol gvina mishum de basar motzi shuman. Meat is fatty, and as one chews in it, his mouth, v'hu nidbak b'pen, all the fats get stuck around one's mouth. Umarich betamo, and that causes a lingering of meat taste. So one cannot go from meat into cheese. So the suggestion that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned in response to Rav Asi, that you don't have to wait at all, doesn't check out, because Rav Chisda tells us that after eating meat, you cannot go right ahead and eat cheese. So the question here is, Rabbi Yochanan's response of v'lo klum, what, with regard to what was that said? Elo, kamo yishe bein gvina lebasar. rather, if for the sake of accuracy, if the question, if this being the question, how much time does one have to wait after cheese in anticipation of eating meat? There, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan would answer, "Velo klum." That's the case that the answer of "velo klum" would address. Gufa, Amar Rav Chista, Ochal Basar, Osur Leachol Gvina, Gvina Mutar Leachol Basar. Well, we saw this just a moment ago. Rav Chista's halacha that if one ate meat, one cannot immediately eat cheese. However, if one ate cheese, he is allowed to eat meat. Amalei Rav Acha bar Yosef, the Rav Chista. Rav Acha asks Rav Chista, Bosar Shebein Hashinayim Mahu. What is the halacha with regard to shreds of meat that are stuck between one's teeth? Is that considered meat? In other words, if one had his meat, he ate his meat, and hours and hours later he wants to eat cheese, so he's, let us say, he's waited between the meat and the cheese, but there is meat still stuck between his teeth. Can he go ahead and eat the cheese while the meat is stuck between his teeth? Kori Alei, so Rav Chista answered and referred to Rav Acha's question the following pasuk: Habosar odenu bein shinayim. From this we learn that meat that is stuck between one's teeth, the pasuk is saying habosar is meat, odenu still bein shinayim, still between the teeth. So we see that that which is still between the teeth is still identified as meat. And hence, if a person is in a situation like that where he ate meat and he waited a while and he's now thinks he's ready to eat the cheese, he waited enough time, but pieces of meat are still stuck between his teeth, he'd have to clean out using dental floss or toothpicks to get that meat out from between his teeth before he can eat the cheese. As we look ahead in the Gemara, we notice some markings. We have triangles and then a dashed underlined phrase. This is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. We will see Shnei Memros, two comments, Shehamashutaf Lehem, common to the two comments is the saying that follows the names. We have here Mar Ukva and Shmuel in our Gemara, and in each case they say, referring to different topics, Ano Laha Milsa Chala Bar Chamra Lagabi Abba. Translated is, I, regarding this matter, whatever matter the Gemara will discuss, am like vinegar, the son of wine, relative to my father. These two items, chala and chamra, vinegar and wine, vinegar actually is a result of soured wine that, let's say, went bad or didn't ferment properly, so it turns into vinegar. Vinegar being a less desirable liquid than wine. So in describing himself, these rabbis, Bar Ukva and Shmuel, relative to their fathers, they are saying that they are on a lesser level of observance or practice, whatever being the case, than their fathers. Let's see the examples. Omar Mar Ukva, Ano Oho Milso Chalo Bar Chamro Legabi Abo. I am like vinegar, the son of wine, relative to my father. De'ilu abo, when it comes to my father, ki hava ochil bisroha idna, lo hava ochil gvino ad lemochar ki hashta. If father would eat meat today, let's say at 11 in the morning, he would not eat cheese until the next day, 11 the morning. In other words, he would wait 24 hours between meat and the cheese. The ilu ano, and as however myself, the ha sudasu de lo achilno, in this meal, I'm eating right now a meat meal, so as part of this meal I would not eat cheese. However, le sudasu achrito achilno, but when the next meal comes along, I would, yes, eat cheese, even though it's within the same day. you'll have, let's say, a noon meal and an evening meal. So if he ate meat during the noontime meal, he would not hesitate to eat cheese in the evening meal. His father, on the other hand, would wait a full 24 hours. Omar Shmuel, Anoloho Milso, Chalobar Chamru Lagabi Abo. Now, here's a piece of Gemara that's not related at all to meat and cheese, but because this phrase was used, we find Shmuel using the same phrase in a totally different and unrelated context. So Shmuel says, I am also like Chalobar Chamru Lagabi father, the Ilu Abo Havasayer Nichse Tre Zimni Biyoimo. Father would check out his properties twice a day. Va'ano lo sayar ne lachado zimno. And I would check out my properties only once a day. So we see here it being viewed as quite praiseworthy and conscientious and responsible for one to check out his properties. And Rashi points out that he checks out his land and sees what is needed in there. Shmuel says, even though father checked twice a day, which is considered more responsible, I checked only once a day. Shmuel l'tame. Shmuel, in praising the need to check, in praising one who checks his property, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. D'yomar Shmuel, man desir nichse kol yoima, one who checks his property every day, mashkach astira, he will find money. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some incidents, and they are indicated with a marking. We have a double underline. You'll notice this double underline is with dots in it to show that it's different than the double underlining above, which was unrelated to this. These are stories of Abaye and Ravasi, whose names you can see are featured. This is what we've written on the outside margin. They would check their properties, as we mentioned before, under our No Say heading, which we didn't read, but we can look at what we've written there anyway. Under the No Say heading, just above this, we wrote, Eitza toiva shodom yelich l'sayer karka oisov l'rois matzorech. A piece of good advice that a person should check out his property to see what it needs. The Gemara. Abaye havasir nichse kol yoyma v'yoyma. Abaye checked his property out every day. Yom echad poga barisei. One day he met his worker, his sharecropper. That's a person who works in one field and receives a percentage of the produce. However, he met him, didori pascha de'ufi. He saw him carrying bundles of wood. And Abaye realized this is wood from his property that he's basically stealing. Omar le hani lehecha. So Abaye says, well, where are you taking this wood? Omar le lebei mor. I'm taking it to you. I'm bringing it to your house. Omar le. Abaye says, well, you think you're going to get one over me? Kvar kadmuch rabbonon. The rabbonon already are a step ahead of you. And what Abaye is meaning is that the rabbonon said, once you check out his properties and see what it needs, so I, in my checking out my properties, caught you in the act. Ravasi have a sir nichse kol yoima. Ravasi checked his property every day. Omar, and he seemed to get frustrated, and he said, you know, he checks his property, never finds that he has to do anything, everything runs on course. Hey choninu kolhani istari demar Shmuel, where are all the coins that Shmuel spoke about? We saw a few lines up, and if you look in the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you can see we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, and you can align this with the arrow above, pointing to the line where Shmuel had said you would find istira, coins. So here you've got Ravasi checking his property every day, never finding anything out of the ordinary. So he's saying, well, where are all the coins that Shmuel promised one would find? Yom echad, have choza sinura debidka be'arei. He noticed that a water ditch had developed a hole, and it was flooding his land. Shakle leglime karche. He took his cloak, his coat, his glima, garment, a garment, karche, folded up the garment, oisfei begava, and he plugged up this crack or hole that was responsible for the water inundating his field. Rama kola, and Ravasi called out, he screamed for assistance. Osu inshi, people came along, sahrua, they dammed it up, or they stopped it up, they helped like stuff in building material as a, that would be a permanent solution. Omar and Rav Asi, upon realizing what just happened, he then reacted and said, "Ashkachtinu lekulu isteri the Mar Shmuel. Now I found all the coins that Mar Shmuel promised." In other words, he realized that by having continued checking his property, he now noticed that that his field was being ruined by this crack in the irrigation system, and that ended up saving him on his finding it and solving the problem, ended up saving him a lot of money. So hence he reacted, "Ah, now I found all the money." In other words, his saving himself from loss, he equated with having found all the coins. As we go on in the Gemara, we turn back to issues of, or we should say, we turn to a new issue concerning washing one's hands. At the beginning of today's shiur, we spoke about preparation of one's mouth between meat and milk, or meat and cheese. Here, we're going to talk about washing one's hands. And we will quickly realize that there are three different situations or times or examples of hand washing. On the outside margin, under our nosei, we have written as follows. Mayim, there are Mayim with a colon we've written. There's Rishonim, Emtsoyim, and Achronim. Mayim Rishonim is the classic Netilas Yadayim, the washing of one's hands that we happen to practice before eating bread. There is emtsoyim, mayim emtsoyim is a reference to one who after, from between dishes, he wants to wash his hands after. One might assume, just for making things easier to appreciate here, that we're talking about people that were eating with their hands as opposed to using forks and other cutlery. Which would probably eliminate any thought of washing one's hands in the middle, between courses. And there's also something called mayim achronim. This is a washing of hands at the end of one's meal. We would practice that after finishing a meal before doing the birchas hamazon. There is a washing of hands called mayim achronim. We will see three categories of three categories of necessity here, we'll call them. There's something called chova. Chova would translate as obligated, mitzvah, and rishus. Rishus is something that we would call optional. Three terms, and we have three types of washings. We will shortly notice a Tanaic source with diamonds in it, and we have that explained under our Mivneh heading. These are Gimel Hagdoros V'Halachos, three categories and laws, Legabi Mayim, Rishonim, Tzoyim, V'Achronim, regarding these three kinds of washings. Let us turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashiyan, Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, V'Achronim Choyva. The washing at the beginning of a meal is considered the fulfillment of a mitzvah. The washing at the end of the meal is obligatory. Meisvei, we raise an objection from this Tanaic source, says Mayim Rishonim V'Achronim Choyva, Emtsoyim Rishus. This source classifies the Mayim Rishonim as Chova. If you focus on that which we've dashed underlined, it becomes much easier to see the issue. Whereas Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashiyan mentioned that Rishonim is mitzvah, this source has Rishonim classified as choiva, and the Emtsoyim the washing between courses, between dishes, that's optional. Well, how do we resolve the statement of Rav Yitzchok with this Tanaic source? The Gemara answers, Mitzvah legabi rishus choiva. Mayim Rishonim basically is, as Rav Yitzchok said, is a mitzvah. It's the fulfillment of a precept. However, when you speak about a mitzvah in the context of something that's optional, in other words, relative to something that's optional, relative to the Mayim Emtsoyim, which we call optional, so that which is a fulfillment of a precept, the fulfillment of a mitzvah, we will classify as obligatory. We would classify, so relatively speaking, it's worthy of being called a chova. Later on in our Gemara, we will see why Mayim Achronim is termed something one must do. Gufa. The Gemara now goes over that which we mentioned in passing in a more complete way. The Tanaic source, which we only saw quoted partially, now is featured in full. Mayim Rishonim Vachronim Chova Emtsoyim Rishus. This is the quote we just saw, the line above. Rishonim, another category, looking at these different hand washings. Rishonim Notlin Bein Bikli Bein Algabi Karka. Mayim Rishonim, when one pours the water over his hands, the water falls either into a vessel or onto the ground. In other words, when washing one's hands, it wouldn't bother us that you're washing directly onto the floor. Achroinim ein notlin elo bekli. However, the mayim achroinim, they must be washed only over a vessel. In other words, not to wash the mayim achroinim and allow the water to hit the ground. The Amri law, Ein Notlin Al Gabi Karka. There's a different version of what we just said. The first, which we have as a little aleph over it, said Ein Notlin Elo Bekli. The insistence was doing it into a vessel. The second version of this is don't do it onto the ground. The Gemara interrupts this source, and that's why we have these little brackets here, but it's not for skipping. My Binayu, what's the difference between the Aleph approach and the Beis approach? Iko Binayu Kinsa. A point of difference would be if you were washing the Mayim Achronim and the water would land on a pile of twigs. Pile of twigs, well, it's not a vessel, and therefore this would be wrong if you accept the Aleph approach. It would be wrong to do this, because the Aleph approach says we want the water to go into a vessel. However, according to the day of it says you're not to do it, not to wash onto the ground, this would be okay. The Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later on, why this would be okay. So if we look in the Rashi, about 5 lines from the bottom of the Rashi commentary, at the beginning of the line, Lamanda Omar Ein Notlin Agabi Karka, Shapir Domi. This would be okay, washing on twigs. Washing over twigs where the water would fall onto a pile of twigs. Ulakaman Meforish Mishum Duruach Ro Shuraleim Kishen Algabi Karka. Later the Gemara mentions there's something called a Ruach Ro, an evil spirit that is that attaches itself to the Mayim Achronim, and it would not be advisable for one to walk and trample over that. So if he washes it onto a pile of twigs, people don't walk on piles of twigs. So therefore the whole objection to it being poured on the ground wouldn't apply in this case. We go back to our source for the third category of discussion. Mayim Rishonim Noitlin Bein Bechamin Bein Betzonein. The initial hand washing can be done whether it be hot water or cold water. Achronim Ein Notlin Ela Betzonein. the Mayim Achronim must be done only with cool water, not with hot water. B'nei shechamin mefa'apin es hayodayim ve'ein ma'avirin es hazuamo. The hot water softens one's skin, and as a result of it being softened, it causes the filth that is left on one's hands after eating his meal, it causes it to be absorbed into his skin, and it doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to do, is remove the zuama, remove the dirt or the salts from his hand. Rashi says at the bottom, Mifapin, Mirakhin es yadayim umavlin bohen es zoam hatafshil. It softens the hands and causes them to absorb the zoham, the dirt, the debris from the cooking, from the food. The Gemara now will be focusing in its upcoming discussion on the third category of discussion, namely heat level. There, hence, in our Nosei topic heading in the outside margin, we have written Ramat Hachom, the heat level, Shelmayim Rishonim Umayim Achronim. That will be our discussion now. So, continuing in the Gemara, Mayim Rishonim, Notlin Bein Bechamin Bein Bitzonein. The first washing, the washing at the beginning of a meal, can be done whether it's hot or cold water. Omer Yisrael Bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yanai, Loi shanu elo she'ein hayad soledes bohen. Before going any further, we should take note of the fact that there's a Roman numeral number 1 that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This is anticipation of a Roman numeral number 2, which appears on Omid Beis, which essentially presents a second version of what Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef will be commenting on. So, right now, we see that he is commenting on Mayim Rishonim. And what does he say? He says the allowance, the leniency in allowing hot water as well, this is fine, this is true, provided it's not so hot that one would remove his hand from it because of the heat. That's the expression yad soledes. Soledes is to be withdrawn. One would withdraw his hands because of the heat level. Avol, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Avol hayad soledes bohen, ein notlin bohen. However, if it's that level of heat that a person's hands would be scalded, then you can't use it for mayim rishonim. Rashi explains that if it reaches this level of heat, it loses its classification as water. There's something called Toiras Mayim, something being classified as water. And we, of course, are speaking in legal terms, legal categories, and not in terms of chemistry. Hot water, cold water is all H2O, but we have legal categories, something classified as legally Mayim, and something that is not. So we're saying here that if it reaches this level of heat, it's no longer classified as Mayim in this legal sense. And, of course, we need to have water to accomplish netilas yadayim. V'iko demasni lo asefa. There are those that teach this qualification concerning water that's yad soledes by min temperature as referring to the mayim achronim, as we will now see. So there are those that teach Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef's qualification on the seifa. And you see we have a quote and a frame around the Tanaic quote, Achronim einodlim elo betzonein avol bechamin loi. Mayim achronim, the source had told us, can be accomplished only with cool water, but not with hot water. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef Omar Rabbi Yanai loi shonu. In fact, here you'll see Rav Yitzchok represents a leniency. He says that the prohibition of warm water, of hot water for Mayim Achronim is not across the boards. It's lo shon el shayat soledes bohen. It's not acceptable only if it happens to be that high level of heat where a person's hand would get be scalded. Avol ein hayad soled es bohen notlin. However, if one's it might be warm, but it's not scalding, so you could use it for the mayim achronim. And we should point out, in anticipation of the next comment of the Gemara, that mayim achronim is more restricted in what you can use than is the case by the mayim rishonim. So what we're saying now is this more restrictive area known as mayim achronim, you can use warm water, just as long as it's not scalding. Well, if that's the restrictive area, what about the mayim rishonim, which is more encompassing, more, let's say, lenient? Michlal, the rishonim, we can infer then that when it comes to the mayim rishonim, af al pi shayad soled es bohen muter, even if the water is of scalding heat level, you could in fact use it. Continuing in the Gemara, Emtsoyim Rishus. This too we saw mentioned in the Tanaic source on the bottom of Amud Aleph. The middle water, the water between courses, is optional. Omer of Nachman, Lo Shanu Elabein Tavshil L'Tavshil. This idea that between courses the washing is optional, this is true only between Tavshil L'Tavshil, would mean between two dishes of the same nature, let's say between two meat dishes or between two cheese dishes. Avol, bein tafshil ligvino choiva. However, after having, let's say, eaten cheese, and you now want to go into eating meat, then you're obligated. If you were eating cheese with your hands, and then you want to eat meat with your hands, you're going to have to, you have to wash them. And that's not any longer an example of rishus, but rather chova, obligatory. Omer Yehuda Brei D'Rav Chiya, Mipnei Omru Mayim Achronim Chova. Why is it that the Mayim Achronim is called obligatory? Answer, Shemelach Sdoimis Yesh, Shemesama Es Ha'inayim. When one eats, Rashi points out that one, in the course of eating, should eat salt. And since he's touching the salt, if a person, after touching the salt, then puts his fingers in his eyes, this melach sdomis, sedom salt, can cause blindness. Omar Abaye. Abaye is going to point out that this salt is actually quite uncommon, and that when you have salt, when they prepare salt, manufacture salt, this melach stomus appears in a very small quantity. Omar Abaye umishtakach, one will find it, or it is found, ki kurta bakura. A quart is a very, very small, it's like maybe something we call a pinch of salt, a very small amount in a core. A core is a very large amount, relatively speaking. So that, you know, if you were to imagine a carton full, a refrigerator box full of salt, you'll have a pinch of Sodom salt in that. You can see that either as a result of its great potency or the extreme concern for well-being that the Chachomim have, they are imposing Mayim Achronim as obligatory. Omale Rav Acha Brei D'Ravo L'Ravashi. Kol. This word kol is a verb. It means measured. Kol Milcha Mai. Here we're talking about someone who's not eating a meal and eating salt with his fingers, but he's measuring salt. He's measuring out salt to a customer that wants to buy it or to fill up his vessels in his house. What is the din then with regard to needing to wash one's hands? Amar le lo mibaya. it does not, there is no necessity of washing one's hands. My assumption would be that the primary difference is that when one is measuring salt, he's using vessels, measuring vessels for this purpose. And therefore, his hands aren't necessarily coming into contact with the salt, certainly not in the same way that one contacts salt in the middle of his meal. As we go on in the Gemara and we scan the page from this point till the bottom, one will notice a very repeating form of markings. This involves the appearance of triangles with a slashed or dashed underlined word that follows. Abaye in each case says, Amar Abaye, the Gemara says, Meresh means at the outset, at first, I thought, and we'll see what. And then we'll see a double underline under the expression Amar Li Mor. Mor is in reference to his teacher, Rabbo Bar Nachmeni. So Abaye is, we have this also featured in, under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. We have a triangle featured, and next to that we've written Abaye. And this represents Sidro Shel Hanhogas. We'll see a series of practices and behaviors, Shemuva Yedei Abaye, that Abaye introduces at each stage. Ubechol Echod Choshav Shioda Hasiba. In each case, Abaye says he thought he understood why this particular practice is in vogue. Aval Omali Mor Shelechol Echad Hasiba Hu Acheres. But Rabba sets him straight, so to speak, and says, no, the real reason is something else. So we'll have this repeating theme throughout the balance of this Omid. Omar Abaye, Meresh Have Amino, Hai Delo Moshu, Mayo Basroy Al Aro. At first, I used to think that which we do not wash the Mayim Achronim directly onto the ground, allowing the water to flow onto the ground, Mishum Zuamo, because of the dirt. In other words, the Mayim Achronim is supposed to wash off the dirt from one's hand, and therefore it wouldn't be proper for it to land on the floor. Omar Li Mor. So Rabbo, though, told me, Mishum Deshai Ruach Ro'alayu. No, the objection isn't because of the Zuamo consideration, but it's because there's an evil spirit that settles upon these waters, and if it lands on the floor, people are going to end up trampling over this Ruach Ro, and that would not be good. The Omar Abaye Meresh Avamino. At first I used to think, Hai Delo Shokil Midi Mipsoira Kinokit Inish Kosala Mishti. Let's translate the phrase here. Hai Delo Shokil, that which we do not take something, Delo Shokil Midi. Midi is anything. We don't take anything. Mipsura, from the table, from in front of someone that is in the middle of drinking. That's Kinokit Inish Kosala, while someone is holding a cup, Lemishti, and drinks. So we're saying that if you're sitting next to someone that's sitting at a table drinking some beverage, you shouldn't reach in front of him to take something from in front of him. Why? Shema yera davar kalkola besuda. Literally, it means some mishap may happen. But Rashi explains a little more. It could be that the person who is in the middle of drinking actually wants that item that you are taking, and that will cause him a sense of impatience or anger. And in the middle of drinking, if a person all of a sudden is overcome by this feeling of anger, could cause him to choke on his drink. So that's what I used to think. I used to think that the objection of removing, taking something from in front of someone that's drinking is because it could lead to danger. Amali Mar, no, Mar says, the real reason is Mishum de Koshi Leruach Tsarga. This again is some type of spiritual force. He says that by taking something from in front of someone while he's drinking is dangerous with regard to this particular spirit called Ruach Tzarda. And now, the next few lines, you can see some dash underlining that takes place, one under the other. These are all qualifications of what we just said. V'lo amoronela de shokil v'lo mahader. The problem of taking from someone, taking from in front of someone while he's drinking, is a problem only if you take it and you're not putting it back. Avo mishka v'aduri leslan ba. But to take it and put it back, that's okay. V'lo amoron elo chutz la'arba amos. Avo toch arba amos leslan ba. And the idea of, even if you don't return it, and we said that would be a problem, that's only if you took it and put it at a distance of more than 4 amos from the table. However, if when you took it and put it, removed it from in front of this person drinking, but you placed the item down within 4 amos of the table, then less lon ba, it is of then no concern to us. We're not bothered by that. And another qualification, v'la moran ella midi detzorach l'sudasa. The whole objection is, if one removes from in front of the drinker something that's needed for the meal. Avomidi de lo tzorach lesudasa les lan ba. Let's say someone is in the middle of drinking and there happens to be a hammer or a can of paint in front of him. What does a can of paint have to do with someone's meal? Nothing. So there would be no problem in taking a can of paint from in front of someone that's in the middle of drinking. Mor barav Ashi kopid afilu asito buchna de tavli. Mor barav Ashi was careful not to remove from in front of someone drinking even a mortar and pestle that's used for crushing spices. Midi de tzrif l'sudosa. This is something that is part of a meal. In other words, people would prepare their spices in the middle of their meal. They would have a little grinder there, or mortar and pestle, a crusher, and that was something used as part of meal. Something like, maybe we would say a salt shaker. They had a spice grinder. So that, Mar Rav Ashi was careful not to remove from in front of someone while he was drinking. The Omar Abaye, another case, Meresh Havei Amino, Hai Dekanshi Nash V'ro'o, that which we sweep crumbs from we sweep a house to remove crumbs. Mishum man kirusa, that the concern was cleanliness. Man kirusa has to do with cleanliness. Omar li mor, so Rabba set me straight, and he said, mishum de koshi lan yusa, that means having crumbs scattered in one's house can bring on poverty. And now a story that illustrates this, and we have a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the mark. You can see we've written in Maisa with a vertical descending dashed line indicating that all of these lines are comprise the incident. So here's a story. Hahu gavro dave mahader ole sora danusa. There was a man that was once being pursued by the angel in charge of poverty. That's the sora, the sar, the minister of poverty. The lo have a yochil lei, and yet this minister of poverty, the one that's in charge, that's charged by the Almighty with causing one to become impoverished, was unsuccessful. Lo have a yochil lei was unsuccessful in getting this man that's featured in the story, because Zoyer anashmura tuva, he's very careful with regard to crumbs. Yumachad korach rifta a yabli. One day, this careful man was having a meal and sliced his bread over grass. It was probably something like a picnic situation. So the bread crumbs fell onto grass. Omar, the minister of poverty, said, "Oh, hashtovale nofel biyadoi. Now he's fallen into my clutches. He's fallen into my hands." Because it's very difficult to sweep up on grass. One can't sweep grass. So this is my chance. Now he's going to be in a situation where he'll have eaten and left crumbs. Bosser d'ochil, when this guy finished eating, I see mora, he brought a shovel. Akrinu liavli, shadinu linara, he dug up the area on which the crumbs had fallen. The yabli is the grasses, So he dug up the grasses onto which the crumbs had fallen, shadinu lenar, and he threw it into the river. Well, this minister of poverty, who had just been licking his chops in anticipation of getting this guy into his clutches, now realizes he's got no chance. Shame de Komar, the careful person, heard the minister of poverty saying, "Vai de afke ahu gavro mi beise, woe unto him, that man." But that man is a euphemism. It means unto himself. "Woe unto me that he," the careful man, "has thrown me out of his house." The Omar Abaye, Mere Shavi Amino, Haidolo Shosi Ufyo. At first they used to think that which we don't drink, ufyo, is the foam on top of different beverages. There's a foaming tendency in, as we say, with regard to different kinds of beverages, so that we avoid drinking the foam, mishum me'isuta, because it's disgusting. The foam here is probably not necessarily the head of beer that you get in when you pour beer from a can of refined beer, but it's a type of foam that one will notice even in streams of water, that along the sides there's an accumulation of foam. Wine that ferments on the top of the barrel, a foam accumulates. This kind of foam is really dirt. So Abaye said that, "I thought that our abstinence from drinking the foam was because it's disgusting." Omali Mar, so Rabbo said, "No, Mishum de Koshi le Karsim." Rashi says, le Karsim le de Shichra. Or we should say, le Karsim is Ririn Haboyin min Achoitim. Karsim is, what we could say essentially is a running nose. It's mucus that comes forth from one's nostrils. So that drinking the foam will bring that on, mucus to emerge from one's nostrils. Once we've mentioned karsum, so the Gemara gets involved with some details. Mishte kosher le karsum, drinking the foam will bring on this phenomenon of karsum. Minpach bei, minpach bei is like to blow off, to blow away the foam. Kashya l'resha is not good. It can bring on maybe a headache. Midche, pushing it away with one's hands as opposed to blowing it away, pushing the foam away from the top of the beverage with one's hands. Kashya l'aniyusa. That is not a good sign with regard to wealth. It brings on poverty. My takante, so what does one do if he has a beverage with foam on it? Answer, lishke shikui. Let it settle in, let it sink in. In other words, just leave the beverage sit for a little while and the foam will get absorbed into the beverage. Lekarsim dechamra shikra. If let's say a person experiences karsim, which we said was the mucus running from one's nose, and we said that it's a result of drinking the foam. Let's say one had karsim as a result of drinking the foam of wine. Chamra is wine, so we drank wine foam. What's his refua? Shichra. He should drink beer. Dishichra. Let's say one had experienced karsim because of drinking beer foam. So the remedy for that is maya, drink some water. Demaya les le takanto. If let us say a person experienced karsim as a result of drinking the foam on water, that has no solution. Vahainu de amri inshi. Based on this, we have a common saying: Boser anyo azlo aniusa. Here's a person that has nothing other to drink than water, which is the cheapest of these different beverages, and he who happens to be poor has no solution for his troubles. That's the idea of the that poverty, in this case troubles, follow the impoverished. The Omar Abaye, Meresh Hava Amino, Hai Belo Achli Yarko, Mikisha de Osar Gino, that which we avoid, we do not eat vegetables from the vegetable cluster. Kisha Dosa Yagino is a bundle. We have this often. Many vegetables are tied together in a bundle form, like a bundle of carrots, or sometimes celery. We find this in the case of garlic. They are tied together. Gino is the person who raises the vegetables. So when one, what Abai is describing here is not to pull vegetables out of the bundle. The expectation rather is that if you want to eat a vegetable, want to eat a carrot that's, let's say, is in a bundle, untie the bundle and then take the carrot. So the Abai says that I thought that our objection to eating vegetables from the bundle, ripping it out of the bundle, is mishum de merci kirav sanusa, because it's a sign of ravenousness, of overdoing it, so to speak. As Rashi says, here this guy couldn't wait, just first untie it and then take, you have to rip it out of the bundle. So it's a sign, it looks like a person who is, a glutton. Rabbo says, the problem with eating vegetables from the bundle, from ripping it out of a tied bundle, is mishum dekashi l'kshafim. One who does this makes himself susceptible to being the victim of magical spells. Kishuf is, we can say, black magic. Rav Chisda, and now we have an incident that accompanies this, and you can see once again we have a long marking to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text indicating the number of lines that appear in order to present the story. Rav Chisda v'Rabba v'Rav Huna havu ko'azli ba'arba. We have Rav Chisda and Rabba Rav Huna on a boat, traveling on a boat. Omra luhu ahi mashunisa. There was a woman that appeared and she said, mashunis is a woman, and she said, oisvon bahadaihu. Let me sit between you. Let me sit together with you. Lo osvua. They did not. They didn't invite her to sit down. They didn't offer. They didn't respond to her request. They didn't have her sit between them. Omra milsa asarti larva. Apparently, she was upset. She said some type of spell and caused the boat to come to a halt. Omru inu milsa. Well. They weren't to be outdone, so to speak. Rav Chisda and Rabba, they said something, Sharyua, and caused the boat to continue sailing. Omra lehu, the woman said to them, "My avid lehu, what am I possibly able to do against you?" And she's going to say, now there are three points she lists off, which they are careful about, and hence they protect themselves from being victims of spells. So she says, what can I possibly do to get you? Velo mekanch luhu b'chaspa. Velo kotel luhu kino amanaychu. Velo och luhu yarko mikisha dasagino. The last one is the tie-in to our sugya. And now we'll go over these points. She says, you people are careful. Velo mekanch luhu b'chaspa. After relieving oneself in the facilities, idea here is that if one wipes himself clean using a chaspa shard, that would make him susceptible to kishuf, to becoming the victim of a spell. But if one avoids using chaspa for cleaning himself, so he's protecting himself from the kishuf. And another thing, v'lo kotel luchu kino manaychu. Kino is a very small insect, bug, creature, lice possibly. So they are careful. They don't kotel is to kill. They don't kill a lice on their clothing. In other words, they would flick it off and not squash it while on their garment. So one can see, of course, from here that one who does kill it on their own garments makes themselves susceptible to kishuv. And this is the tie-in. This is what Rabbo had mentioned to Abaye right before this Maisa. He says, you people are also careful to avoid eating vegetables while taking them out of a bundle. Rather, you apparently untie the bundles before eating those vegetables. And as a result of that, she sees that they are careful with these things, so her spells are not going to take effect on them. V'yomer Abaye, Meresh Hava Amino, Haideloch, Achli Yarka Denofel Atako. I used to think at the outset that that which we do not eat, vegetables that fall on the table surface, Mishon Isuta, because it's disgusting. Apparently the table has dirt on it that accumulates, and food, in this case vegetables that fall onto the table surface, would become disgusting. So that's why we don't eat it. Omar Li Mor. So Rabba says, no, Mishum de Kosha Lareach Hapeh. Eating vegetables that fell on the table surface will bring on Reach Hapeh, loosely translated as bad breath. It might be a reference to something else, but Reach has to do with a smell, peh, from the mouth. V'yomar Abaye, Mereisha V'amino, Haidelo Yasvi, Tusi Marzivo. At first, they used to think that which we do not sit, lo yasvi, we don't sit, tusi, underneath, marziva, a drain spout. Mishum shofchim. Shofchim is wastewater. The drain is something that would drain water, or it's a tubing or a pipe that draws the water off of the roof. There were people that used to use the roofs. They did all kinds of things. They might have washed on the rooftop. They might have used the roof for any number of things. And the water that runs off the roof is full of dirt and debris. So Abai says, well, one wouldn't sit under the drain spout because of the shofchim, because they would encounter the water that flows off the roof, which is full of dirt. Omar Li Mor. So Rabba said, no, the reason one is advised not to sit under a spout is Mishum Teshchichi Mazikin. It's a place that dangerous forces, it's a place that they occupy. In other words, these Mazikin, these demonous forces, like to position themselves under drain spouts. And here we have a story. Once again, we have a long marking that illustrates the length of this story. And you can see this takes up quite a few lines, ending about four lines from the bottom. Hano shkuloi. Shkuloi are people that are, we would call, movers. People that carry items for people. Transporters or movers of items. Davudoru chavito de chamra. In this case, they were doru, carrying a barrel of wine. Bo lispuchi. So they were carrying, they were lugging this barrel of wine. They wanted to rest. Lispuchi is to rest. Osfuo tusi marziva. So they put the barrel right under a drain spout. Poka, and the barrel split, cracked open. Osu lukame de mor bravashi. The movers came to Mar Bravashi with their story about the wine barrel splitting. Apik Shipuri Shamte. Mar Bravashi blew on the shofar, took out a shofar, blew the shofar, and by blowing the shofar, that excommunicates the mazik. It's a punishment to the mazik, to the demon. Also, Lekame. Well, the demon comes to Mar Bravashi. He realizes he's been excommunicated. Omar lay, so Mar Bravashi said to the Mazik, Amai Tavid Hochi, why'd you split their barrel? Omar lay, so the Mazik said, Hechi Avid, ki osve beunoi. What could I possibly do? They put the barrel right into my ear. In other words, we said before that one should not sit under drain spouts because that's the place mazikin occupy. So sure enough, there was a mazik there. These are forces that aren't—they're not visible, certainly not readily visible. And these porters placed the barrel of wine right under the drain spout. They happened to be putting it in this mazik's ear, so it was a source of pain for this mazik. And so he wanted to get rid of the barrel, so he split the barrel right then and there. Omar lay, so Mar Bravashi said, "At beduchta d'shchichi rabim." You know, you're occupying a place that the public passes by there regularly. My boyis, what kind of complaint can you possibly have? What kind of claim could you possibly have? Atu d'shonis zil shalim. You are the one that did something odd. Not they. They are part of the public, and it's common for the public to take a rest at every point along the way. So they took a rest and put their barrel down, thinking that they were doing something fine. How that they should have anticipated that your head was under this drain spout. You did something strange by going to rest, by lying down in a place that the public traverses. Amarle. So let's read that line again. My boyis, at hu deshonis, zil shlim. You, shonis means you did something odd. You were the departure from the norm. Therefore, you have to pay. Amale, so the mazik says to Mar Bravashi, hashtonami litbili mor zimno vefra. Set a time by which I should come with the cash or the compensation and pay up. Kova le zimno. So Mar Bravashi set a time. Listen, I want you to come back with the money in 2 weeks from now. Kimota zimno yakiv. When the time came for the mazik to show up and pay, yakiv, he was delayed. He also, when he finally came, Omar le, so Mar Bravashi said to the mazik, Amai lo osis bizmancha. Why didn't you come at the appointed time? Omar le, so the mazik says, before we read in the Gemara what he's about to say, let us say outside. He says, listen, I didn't have the means up till now to pay. Where am I to collect the means of paying? I basically get it only from Hefker. Omar le, kol mili ditzai v'chosim v'kayel, anything that's tied up, sealed, and measured, the v'kayel umoni is measured and counted, les lon reshusa l'mishka minei. We can't take from those things. So that, let's say you have this mazik that's walking through a public market, and there are all kinds of vegetable stands, one after the other, but all of the vegetables there are bundled in their respective bundlings. I can't take those. I can't swipe those away. That's what he says. The only thing that's tied up, sealed, counted, or numbered, less than reshusel mishkami, we can't take from that. Adish mashkechinon, until we find midi defkera, midi, something that's hefker, that's unowned. So up till now, I couldn't find enough hefker items in order to a sufficient amount of hefker items in order to pay the necessary compensation. The Omar Abaye, Mere Shave Amino, Haide Shodi Maya Mi Puma de Chatzva. At first, I used to think that which we throw off, pour off the water from the top of a barrel, Mishum Tzipsa, because at the top of the barrel, we're talking here about very likely barrels of water. So at the top of barrels of water, there are twigs, Tzipsa, little twigs, little debris. So Abai said, I used to think that this practice of pouring off the water from the top of barrels was because of tzivsa. Omar li mor, Rabba said differently. He said, Mishum de'iko mayim horoyim. Mayim horoyim is a reference to water that a demon drank from. Ahu bar shida, dahave be rav papa. Bar shida, we can refer to as a shade. A shade is a demon. So there was this demon that used to be in the home of rav papa, who actually used to serve rav papa. Rav papa would send him on missions. Ozal asuye mayim naro. So this shade went to draw water, to bring water from the river. Iakiv. Well, he didn't come back immediately. He was delayed. He also when he finally came, they asked him, why were you delayed? Omar lahu ad chalfi mayim horoyim. I was by the river and I saw that the water flowing in front of me was water from which other fellow demons had drunk. So I didn't want to draw waters that demons had been drinking from. So I waited. I waited till the water flowed downstream and new water followed that I am now bringing. Well, so we have the shade who finally brought the water, was delayed, and now brings it. Adahochi, in the meantime, the Gemara continues at the top of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. So, in the meantime, Chazinu, the shade, noticed the people in Rav Papa's house. They called Shadu Mayam Ipuma Dechatzva. Before they drank, they poured off the water from the top of the barrel. Omar, the shade, having just noticed that they were careful in doing that, he says, Ihaviyodana Dirigulisu Lemevan Hochi, had I known that you were accustomed to doing thusly, automatically pouring off the water from the top of barrels, Lo Akfi, I wouldn't have been delayed. In other words, so what if I would have brought water that the demons drank from? So when if I would have brought that home, so you would have poured off the top of the barrel, thereby removing the mayim horoyim, and everything would have been fine. So had I known that you practiced this, I would have brought the water much sooner. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.